being filled with the knowledge of His will. As we started this series of messages on being aware of the will of God, we tried to give you a definition of what the will of God is. Basically, if you just look at the text and look at the word itself, it indicates to us that it is the wishes or the determined desire that God has for your life. One that desires to please the Lord, amen, is a person that finds themselves serving God in the will of God. And so this will of God is the desire of God. It is the pleasure of God. It is the choice that one makes to give their life, amen, in the service of God and to offer themselves a living sacrifice to walk in truth and to fulfill what God has designed for their life. May I say to you that if you have a deity, and if you're saved by the grace of God, you do, amen, that God in his sovereignty has a design for your life. We know that He desires that we be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. That, without question, amen, is God's predetermined plan for every individual that is saved by the grace of God. But what does God want for your life? What does God have for you to do in your life as a child of God? That seems to be a mystical thing. You know, I see preachers and missionaries and young people that, you know, stagger around in life trying to figure out what the will of God is. That's been a real mysterious thing to people seemingly in the ranks of fundamentalism. But God has given us a Bible. We have the Word of God tonight, and it's very plain and it's very clear. And God in heaven has a desire for you and I to be filled with the knowledge of His will. The reason why many times we question what we are going to do or the decisions that we are going to make is because in reality, we don't want to know what God says about it. Because we've already made up our mind most of the time, and we really are not interested in the input that God has on the will of God for our life. But we've been talking about the will of God. We've talked about how that the will of God can be affected by different things in your life. Your flesh can affect the will of God, both on the positive end and the negative end. Amen. You can yield to the flesh, walk in the energy of the flesh, and get into sin, justify your sin, and go about your life thinking that I am not out of the will of God. Then you can try to do things that pleases your flesh, may not be sinful, may just be something you want, amen, in your life. And you feel like it's right, you feel like it's good, but is it God's will? Does God have anything to do with it? We talked about your feelings. Well, preacher, I feel this way. You know, I've had a lot of feelings, amen. I have had a lot of feelings in my life that at times I really wondered if it was the Spirit of God directing me and guiding me in a particular path. But then I've sat down and I've read the Word of God, and I find out from God's Word that that is not what God wanted me to do, amen. That was just something that, you know, felt good. Something that, you know, I thought, man, this would be a great idea. This could help in this area. But is it the will of God? Is the will of God that important to you? That you fulfill the divine and the perfect will of God for your life and do the service that God has called you to fulfill? Sometimes family can get in the way of the will of God for your life. When I came here 20 some odd years ago, amen, all of my family and all of my friends, amen, was in South Carolina. And I came here except for Mama and a few folks that I had met coming up this way. I didn't know anyone in this area. But now I have a house full of friends, a house full of family in the house of God. But when I came here, I could have said, you know, my daddy's here. My dad has a business. And I'm the only son. My sisters are right down the road. And, you know, all my friends and all my family are here. And I can't for the life of me see how God would send me there knowing that my family is here. Amen. But that was the will of God. You can't let family get in the way of the will of God. You can't let friends persuade you down the paths that you might trod that would be against the purpose and the divine will of God for your life. We said many things that can conflict the will of God. Finances can. Then we talked about the will of God for the sinner. The main body of the outline is just 2 points. The will of God for the sinner, the will of God for the saint. We preached a message on the will of God for the sinner. And we understand tonight that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I talk to our students about Calvinism. I don't talk a lot about false doctrine. Most of them didn't even have a clue what Calvinism even meant. And I praised God for that. Amen. That they didn't know. Amen. Know the truth. The truth will set you free. But I talked to them about some of the doctrines of Calvinism. But I believe, and amen, this Bible teaches us that Jesus died for every man. Amen. His blood was shed for the sins of the entire world. And there's nobody excluded from the grace of God except the man that chooses to forsake, amen, the Calvary process of redemption that the Lord God made in heaven when Jesus came to this earth and died for the sins of the world. And so it's God's will for every sinner to be saved. Then we talked about the will of God for the saint. We talked about the gift and the grace of God that is manifested in that will. We talked about responsibility and relationship as we've been made aware of the will of God. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's what Mary said to the Lord in John chapter number 2. Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You want a relationship with God? You want a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Then you need to be responsible in doing the will of God. Just short and quick tonight, I want to talk to you from Acts chapter 13 about another aspect of the will of God that I think all of us need to be aware of. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 36, here's what our verse says. For David, and everyone knows who David is, King David, a man after God's own heart. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Now, I'm not discussing the context of this scripture tonight. I'm interested in the phrase, the will of God, because that's the theme that we are dealing with tonight. And the Bible said in verse 36, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep. And I want to simply say tonight that it is the will of God for you to serve your generation. Amen. Now you may not like the generation that you must serve. And I believe some good godly men live some lives of great sorrow and weeping. I believe that Jeremiah, if you would have set Jeremiah down, Jeremiah would tell you it's very difficult to serve this generation. I believe Jeremiah would have said, man, I'd rather go back in time and maybe serve another generation than this generation. And Jeremiah is considered the weeping prophet, and many of the other prophets faced a generation that turned their back on the Lord and did not do the will of God. And basically the word generation represents a span of time, a group of people, and that's my outline tonight. I want you to understand that if you are going to serve your own generation, now you need to quit worrying about yesterday's generation, and you need to quit worrying about tomorrow's generation, and you need to focus on where God has put you in the period of time that he has allowed you to live, and he's given you an opportunity to serve this generation. Amen. You can take a timeline from Adam until the last man that'll live on the earth. Amen. When the heavens and the earth fly away and a new heaven and a new earth is created, and there's this timeline there that represents thousands of years, thousands of years. And out of all those thousands of years, you have, oh, I don't know, about a 70 or 80 year span situated somewhere on that timeline. You made it past, of course, the time, amen, of the ancient world and the primeval stages of the history of humanity. And you've traveled through the patriarchs, and you read about the kings and the monarchs of Israel, and you travel through the prophets. You read about Jesus being born in Bethlehem's manger, but that's not you. You're not serving that generation. We could travel back to the Revolutionary War. We could travel back to the Civil War. We could travel back to the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II. And my stepdad here tonight has been through every one of those, amen, at 89 years old and 30 years in the Navy. But I'm telling you, God has put his hand on you to serve your own generation in this span of time that you exist on this earth. You're not going to serve any other generation. You may live by books in a dream world. You may look and read novels, and you may even read history books. And you may find yourself living in a fairy tale world that does not exist today. Now, that does not mean when I say fairy tale world that that world did not exist, but it does not exist right now. You are living in the year 2011 of our Lord. And there is a period of time that God has allotted you on this earth. And as a child of God, you are responsible to serve this generation. You can't serve another generation. You cannot serve a generation yesteryear. You can't serve a generation that'll be here after you're dead and gone. You have a responsibility to serve this generation. And that involves a period of time that God has given you on this earth. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the time that you have? The moments are fleeting. Days are fleeting, the moments are passing. What are you going to do with the time that you have to serve your generation? The Bible said that David served his own generation. This generation belonged to David. Now, I preach till I'm blue in the face, and you know I have, about saving yourself from this untoward generation. Amen. There is a generation. How lofty are their eyes? And Proverbs talks about how filthy they are. They have teeth as knives, and talks about the generation that's wicked and ungodly. Without question, that's the final generation that we are a part of, in regard that that is the period of time that we serve. And we don't want to be a part of that generation, nor do we want to produce that generation, but that is our generation. We own it. We're a part of it. Now, you may not be a drunkard, and you may not be, amen, representing the characteristics of that generation, but that is where you live. And you can't hide from that. You can't run from it. You can't crawl in a cave and get rid of it. You are responsible in the will of God to serve your generation. It involves a period of time. Now, I've told people often that I felt I was born in the wrong generation. I mean, I love Western stuff. I love horses, and I like, you know, old revolvers and lever action guns and cowboy hats and saddles and the smell of a horse barn. And you know, I just eat up with it. I love it. And I realize that I may have read books and seen things in the past, amen, that would create a misconception about what the old West must have been like. It probably is nothing like Louis has painted it to be, Miss Val. But I'm telling you what, that is the world I wished I lived in if I had my choice. Amen. Amen. I like it. I had a preacher come up here years ago, come preach in the old building. We had a prophet's room up there. And I brought him up to, he came into town. I left the key in there, and I went up there to check on him. And I had been at the house working. I don't know what I was doing, fooling around with the cows or messing with the horses or something, you know. And it was winter time, so I had blue jean jacket on, a pair of cowboy boots and a cowboy hat on. I'd been out there, you know, messing around. I come up, you know, I had dirt on me, probably horse or cow manure on my boots, and I beat on the door, open the door up, check on him and say, how you doing? Fine, doing fine. He told somebody, he said, man, he opened the door up. I thought he was the Marlboro man. I wasn't smoking. I didn't even have the smell of smoke on me. Amen. I probably had a smell on me, but it wasn't a smell of smoke. But if I could go back in time, you know, that'd be the world I'd want to live in. You know. But I have a responsibility to who's right here. The people that's breathing air today in America and around the world is who I'm responsible for. And I don't understand why we're here and why we are not yonder or over there. I don't have the answer to that question. All I know is this is where we're at. And if we're going to be in the will of God, we got to serve our own generation by the will of God. So it involves a period of time. It involves people. Amen. You're not going to get out from under the responsibility of serving the people of this generation. You can't do it. It's impossible. What are you going to do about it? These people. Got problems? Oh, yes. People's got problems. Got some weird ways about them? Sure they do. I got some about me. Fulfilling the prophecies of this Bible, yes, we are a victim of prophecy. Are you listening to me? There is a period of time that the Bible describes as being the last days, perilous times. That's the days that we are living in. Now, I believe that every individual can have revival. I believe the church can have revival. And I'm not saying that the world can't have revival. But I'm telling you, we are living in the last of the last days. If I interpret the Bible correctly and I can see and understand the Word of God as I do, I understand that sin is going to wax worse and worse in people. Their imagination is going to grow wicked. Their inventions are going to be wicked and ungodly. But I have a responsibility to serve that generation. Now, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to produce it. But I do have the responsibility to serve it. That's the will of God. Said, preacher, I want to tell you about, and our ladies do this often. Preacher, our students have problems. You know, there's things going at home that because of that, it's hindering our ability to accomplish what we need to accomplish in the classroom. Yes, ma'am, I know that. That's the people that you're going to have to serve. And I'll preach. And try, here's what I told me, on what this Miss Valerie said the other night in her speech, here's what I told the board this afternoon. I said, I would rather take a 12-year-old boy and send him out in the woods with a .22 rifle to go squirrel hunting than I would give him a Game Boy. That's what I told him. You'd say, well, the preacher, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'd feel a whole lot more comfortable. Amen. I'd say some of you probably went to the woods when you was 12 and 13-year-old with a .22 rifle and went hunting with it, didn't you? Some of you, Brother Hurt, say you was shooting .22 rifle when you was 12 months old. Amen. Isn't it amazing, Brother Steve, the responsibility that we had at 12 and 13 and 14 that we can't trust our young men to have those responsibilities because we don't think they're mature enough? So what we'll do is we'll stick them in a corner and let them play some game that's destroying their mind. We have a responsibility to serve this generation in the midst of their problems. They have problems. We don't want to be a part of that problem. We want to try to resolve that problem. But in the midst of that problem, we do have the responsibility by the will of God to serve them, serve this generation. We can't get away from that. You understand that? What? I told the kids in class, I said, Jeremiah said, I'm not preaching no more. We were talking about the symbols that the Word of God is represented by in the Bible. And Crystal, at that class, there was two in one verse that we read, and she caught it when we were coming through. You remember that one, Miss Crystal? Which one you caught? What was it? Do you remember? Fire, right? It was fire. She remembers. And I said, we went to the book of Jeremiah, didn't we? That's where we was at when we talked about the Word of God being symbolized as fire. And Jeremiah said, I'm sick of telling them. I'm paraphrasing right now. He said, I'm sick of telling them. I'm not going to preach to them any longer. I've preached to them. I've told them and I've told them and I've told them. And he said, I am tired of it. I'm tired of the austere look they give me. I'm tired of the barrier that is represented between me and them that keeps the Word of God from seemingly penetrating their heart. I am sick of it and I'm not going to mention it any longer. But he said, there was something burning in my soul like a fire. And it could not stay. I could not retain it. And I had to open the book up and preach it again. And so no matter how wicked the people may be, no matter how indifferent they may become, no matter what parents allow in their home, and no matter what young people do, we still have the responsibility by the will of God to serve our own generation.
People have problems.
But God's got a divine purpose. Amen. God's got a divine purpose in mind. And He'll use you to fulfill that purpose. And this is a message. This is a message right here. But every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. When the antediluvian world was destroyed by the flood, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. One man said, that's not the path I'm taking my family. Amen. Idol worship is every in every country. Everybody's bowing down to gods that are not gods. But Abraham had a testimony. As he obeyed the Lord and came out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he'd raise his children for the glory of God. There's always been a Noah. There's always been an Abraham. There's always been a Manoah. Here's Elijah sitting on the side of the road. Lord, everybody's compromised. They've quit preaching and there's no prophets left. And I'm depressed and I'm discouraged and I'm about sick of it. And God said, I have 7,000 that have never bowed their knee. I mean, they have never bowed their knee to Baal. There is a remnant. God has somebody that will take a stand and believe what's right. Amen. When Jesus came into this world, there was a Mary that could bring him forth. There was a Zacharias and an Elizabeth that could bring a John the Baptist in the world. There was a Simeon, amen, that was waiting for the consolation of Israel. There is a Gentile by the name of Cornelius that's looking for God to move in his life.
You got to be that somebody that's willing to serve your generation.
when things are silent, when things are wicked, when things are cold, when things are indifferent, when things seem hopeless. Well, preacher, I'm just responsible for my little family. No, no, you're not either. Preacher, I just want to build my little ark, and I'm going to put my two little girls on the ark because I'm responsible for my little family. Preacher, I'm going to build my little ark, and I'm going to put my two little boys on the ark. Preacher, I'm going to put my little quiver full on the ark that I build, and I'm going to be a Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You're not going to find grace in the eyes of God building an ark just for your little family. No, you're going to have to build an ark for the world and the animals that are on the world if you're going to serve God and find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Before Noah loaded up his children on that ark, he preached for 120 years that God was going to. Noah wanted to see somebody get on the ark with him. So I'm talking about being aware of the will of God. And I'm done tonight. And I've preached from this verse before about serving your own generation. But I want you to know that that is the will of God. You need to be aware of that. It's not just about you and your family. I've seen people neglect serving others with an excuse to protect their own children and lose those children. I've seen people refuse to do certain things because they felt like they were putting a barrier, a spiritual barrier, around their home, and it never worked. I'm going to tell you what, my family is involved in this church up to their neck. Amen. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying I praise God for it, but my family is involved in this ministry. And I'm glad they are. Amen. My daughter's teaching the school. One of them's working in the school and preparing to be ready to teach in the school. My son-in-law mowed the yard this week. We get back here to start framing. They'll bring the tools and start working on the classrooms. They're involved in the ministry of this church. Amen. Is that not right? And I'm not saying that to make some kind of statement. I'm trying to tell you, amen, that I have seen people that would not involve themselves in the work of God and had that holier-than-thou attitude that lost their family, completely lost their family. I know children that's in jail right now that's come to this church before, and they had more rules and standards than anybody did. And will look down their nose. They would look down their nose at some of these girls and boys here when they were little because they would sing a song and they'd say, instead of memorizing that song, saying, you should have memorized a Bible verse, that kind of attitude. And their children aren't serving God, some of them in jail and everything else. Is that not right, Brother Craig? But I tell you what you do, you put a young man on a pew and focus his attention on the man of God and the work of God, amen, and point his direction in the joy where there's he can find and serve in Jesus, amen, and put an emphasis on church and the things of God, and it'll make a difference in their life. They can serve the Lord. Amen. These people in here that want to be around the things of God. And I'm not trying to pump nobody's head up or pat nobody on the back, but the chance is not working with the boys or whatever, got a job, he'll be in here helping with the Bible quiz kids, or he'll be in here doing his homework or something here in this church. He said, I want to be accountable. He said, as far as my online classes, he comes here a lot of times and does. If there's anything going on back there cleaning up or whatever, if he's around, his hands are on it. Amen. Busy about doing something for God. That's serious. That's important. It's understanding that you have a responsibility to serve your generation. Amen. Now, let me talk about the purpose of that. The purpose of our serving this generation revolves solely around the Word of God. Amen. Now, I'll help somebody do anything. I'll try my best to give you a place to sleep. I'll feed you. I'll do anything I can, but my focus is for you to serve God. The outcome of everything and anything that I would do to help you in the end result is for you to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's the will of God tonight. It is the will of God for you to serve your generation. Well, preacher, let me tell you what she done. It's the will of God for you to serve her. Let me tell you what he done, what he said. It's the will of God for you to serve them. And there's biblical principles laid out in this book whereby you can make that right, whatever she said or he did or whatever the case may be, if you want to follow those principles. I'll tell you what, we've got families here. We've got young ladies here that are young mothers right here. I could stand them up. Misty and Angie and Veronica and I don't know who all else. Jamie. And I could go around through here and talk about adult ladies that have families that sat in my office when they were teenagers and I looked them in the eyes over situations and problems. And I said, now we're going to fix this one way or the other. Amen? Is that not right? And we sat there and looked at each other, and it's amazing how everybody's story changes when they're sitting there looking at the person that they said whatever they said about. It's amazing how well, you know, things change. But you can get everything out in the open. That's the only way you fix anything. I'm going to tell you something. There's been times when things have been said and things have been handled wrong and situations have not been maybe handled in a proper manner. And there's a biblical way for things to be handled. And there's a biblical way to fix things when things ain't been handled right. But I'm going to tell you what, ultimately tonight, as individuals, we have a responsibility to serve this generation. If we don't do it, when we fall asleep, we will fall asleep in failure rather than finishing the course and fighting the good fight of faith. And I realize tonight that we live in a very advanced society in the realm of technology. I understand that. And I understand if our young people are not able to handle that and be privy to that, or savvy to that, if that's the word to use, then it will consume them. Amen. There's not a young man in this building going to step out into the workforce and make a livelihood that is ignorant to technology. He's not going to do it. So we have to understand that we have a generation that we must serve. We are not riding horses. I mean, we do, but we're not riding them as far as a mainstream of transportation. We don't have a sword sheathed, amen, tonight to go out and do battle with the terrorist. We have high technology machinery that does battle where somebody has invented and somebody has perfected. I mean, we live in that. That's the generation that we live in. That's the generation we live in. And it is the will of God for us to serve it. And we will either serve that generation or be out of the will of God. Now, I like to read a book that carries me back to the West where some fella's riding across, you know, through some canyon. Ain't nobody within 1,000 miles of him, seemingly. And you can hear the cricket making its little noise on the leaf. And when he goes to sleep at night, he always makes sure the next day he shakes his boots out to make sure the scorpion's not crawled in there. Amen. And I realize that that's over Brother David's head, but me and Val, we're educated enough that that means something to us, doesn't it, sis? Amen. I mean, I'm over his head. We're way out there. He can't get that. Amen. And that's an inside joke. But that's where I want to. I like to go there at times. Amen. I can saddle a horse up and ride. Well, I could until I had a little situation here a few weeks ago. And ride for just hours by myself. I don't have to have anybody to ride with me. I can just saddle up and just go off by myself riding and live in my own world for a while. Amen. But I got a responsibility to serve this generation. It's people during the period of time that I represent here with their problems, understanding that I have a purpose, and that is the gospel. The Word of God. Let that break in on you, boys. You have a generation to serve. You have a generation to serve. The world can only offer you heartache, misery, discontentment. They don't have anything to give you. Jesus will give you everything. And give you an opportunity to be a part of the greatest work that has ever existed in the history of humanity. And that's being a child of God and letting the world know that Jesus is alive. But you'll have to do that in the will of God, serving your generation.